On Daf Ayin Aleph, on page 71 at the end, on Ayin Aleph Amid Beis, at the two dots, the Gemara had recorded an argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. So just to look at that again, on Ayin Aleph Amid Beis, Itmar was taught, Achal Shnei Zeisei Chelev Behelem Echad. A person ate two olives, amounts of forbidden fat in a single mistake, a single forgetting. Then, Nodalol Arishon, he was informed that the first kezias that he had eaten was a sin. And he feels terrible. I ate a kezias. Then, V'chazer V'Nodalol Asheni. Then he gets informed and he becomes aware that the second kezias was also a sin. So Rabbi Yochanan said he has to bring two karbanos chatas, two sin offerings. Because the idea, the fact that he knew about event A before, knowing that event A was wrong, he became aware that event A was wrong before he became aware that event B was wrong, makes each event a separate event, even though when they happened, it was all in one period. But because he became aware of one, and then he became aware of the second, they get considered two events, and he has to bring two sin offerings, because we're talking about a sin offering when a person is eating forbidden fat. If you deliberately eat forbidden fat, it's a biblical, it gets kares, and then if you did it by mistake, you have to bring a sin offering. But this is the view of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rish Lakish disagrees. Rish Lakish says that if he became aware of the first act of eating, and then he became aware of the second act of eating, he only has to bring a single sin offering. He doesn't have to bring two offerings. He only has to bring a single offering. So that was an argument that we had yesterday. And we saw different explanations in terms of what exactly is the case of the argument. Is the case of the argument, as I said, that he became aware of one event and then aware of the second, or is it even more? He became aware of one event, he put aside a sacrifice for that event, and then he became aware of the second. These were questions yesterday. Okay. So this was all about karban chatas, a sin offering. Sin offering is the offering that's brought for an action that, were that action to have been done on purpose, the penalty would have been kares, soul being cut off, a person dying before the age of 50. When that same action is done mistakenly, so then one takes a sheep or a goat, brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, and offers a sin offering. So, till now we've been talking about chataos, sin offerings, and we saw there was an argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about two actions that occurred during a single lapse, and then the person was informed about one action, and then he's informed about the second action. Do we say now that he brings one sacrifice, or do we say he brings two sacrifices? So the Gemara now, in the first half of today's daf, is going to transition from the issues of sin offerings to a similar area of halacha, but a different type of sacrifice. We're going to talk about karbanos asham, guilt offerings. Guilt offerings are not the same thing as sin offerings. Sin offerings are for an action that, were it to have been done on purpose, would have gotten the penalty of kares, death, from the hands of heaven. Guilt offerings are special laws. If somebody is not sure if he, let's put that aside for a second. If someone takes from Beit HaMikdash, he takes hektesh, he takes a piece of dough of the Karban Mincha, and he eats it. So when he does the sin of Me'ilah, he needs to offer Asham Me'ilos, a Karban Asham of Me'ilah. If somebody That's one type of me'ila, one type of asham. Another type of asham, somebody who had marital relations with a Gentile maid. So a shifcha kenanis. She can have some type of marriage with an Eved Ivri. The Torah says that a Jewish slave is allowed to be handed over to the Gentile Canaanite maid to produce Canaanite children for the master. So if there was a Jewish slave and he had this shifcha that he had a relationship with, and now some other man has intercourse with this shifcha, that man has to bring a karban asham. That's called a guilt offering. Now, when we have sin offerings, karbanos chatas, let's say eating forbidden fat. So if a person forgot that he's not allowed to eat forbidden fat and he ate the forbidden fat, then he's informed and he realizes he wasn't allowed to eat the forbidden fat. He has to offer a sin offering. What happens if he's not sure if he did it? There was forbidden fat and there was kosher fat. And he doesn't know what he did. He ate some fat. He's not sure if what he ate was the kosher or the non-kosher. So then there's a sacrifice called Asham Talui. It's a guilt offering, but a conditional guilt offering. The conditional guilt offering suspends any punishment, but it doesn't really create atonement. There is an argument in Maseches Krisos whether the law that when you're unsure, you bring an Asham Talui, whether that would help you in regards to a sin where were you to know that you did it, you bring an Asham Vadai. So we're not talking about a sin of eating forbidden fat. We're talking about the sin of a Jewish man who had intercourse with a Canaanite slave woman who had some relationship. She was Miu'edah, she was dedicated for an Eved Ivri, for a Jewish slave. And some other Jewish man comes and has relations with this woman. So if he knows he had the relations, if he deliberately has the relations, he's supposed to bring a regular asham. What happens if this man was sleeping around? He slept around with four or five different women. He's not sure. One of those women may have been a shifcha kenanis who was dedicated to a Jewish slave. So he's not sure. Would we say that when he brings an asham talui, he brings a doubtful asham, over a sin that were he to know that he did it would be an Asham Vadai, can that work as an Asham Vadai? Can that wipe away the requirement of giving an Asham Vadai? That is an argument in Maseches Krisos between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfa. And the Gemara is going to apply that argument to the issue of how seriously we take a person's knowledge. Because the fact that somebody knew that he had done one act of eating forbidden fat, is that enough to break up the event and to require multiple sacrifices? The Gemara is going to apply the discussion of Asham and Asham Talui to Chatas and eating Chalev. So that's what we're going to see in the first Amud. The second Amud is going to take us back to Hilchos Shabbos, to a very important concept in Hilchos Shabbos, and that is that if you're not trying to do the malacha, until now we were talking about someone who forgot that there is such a thing as Shabbos, forgot that today is Shabbos, forgot that that planting is prohibited on Shabbos. What happens if he's not trying to plant? He's trying to do something else, and he ended up planting. So the case that the Gemara gives is a guy who dropped a knife in a bush. He's trying to pick up the knife. When picking up the knife, he ends up pulling leaves off the bush. So that's another issue. That's called misasek, and that's going to be the second half of today's stuff. So let's start again. We're on the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amid Beis at the two dots. Amar Ula said, Leman da Amar Asham Vadai Lo Bay Yediya Betchila. According to the opinion that says that for those sins that normally would require a certain guilt offering, What are those types of sins? Let's say Shivcha Charufa is a good example. A Jewish man who has intercourse with a Gentile slave woman who is betrothed. I shouldn't say betrothed. She's linked to a Jewish slave. So he violates this relationship. So if he wasn't sure if he did it, and because he wasn't sure, he brought an Asham Talui. And then after he brought the Asham Talui, he was informed, you really did it. And now he is sure that he did it. So according to the opinion that says that's it, he already got atonement. So then, starting now today's Amud, Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, Baal Chamesh Be'ilos B'Shivcha Charufa, if he were to have 5 acts of intercourse with a woman, with this Gentile slave woman who was linked to a Jewish slave, and between each act of intercourse, he realizes he did a sin, still, Eino Chayev Ela Achas, he only brings 1 guilt offering, and that single guilt offering will work for all the actions of sin that he did. Because since, according to this opinion, knowledge is not so important, if he wasn't even sure, and he brought a guilt offering, the guilt offering of the state of being unsure can wipe away the crime. So then if he knows between each act of crime, knowledge is not so important, and all those 5 acts are considered behelam echad, all in a single episode, and one guilt offering will wipe away all 5 acts. Maskefla Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna challenged this idea of Ula. Elameata. According to such logic, Baal, if this man had intercourse with the Gentile slave woman who is linked to the Jewish slave, and V'chazaru Baal, actually, we should change the words a little bit. V'hifrish karban, and then he set aside a sacrifice for the first act, and then he did another act of intercourse after he set aside the sacrifice. V'amar, and he said, listen, hamtinu liad she'evel, I know I put aside the sacrifice, but the sacrifice can work for multiple acts. So wait, I'm going to go do it again now. I'm going to again have intercourse with the Gentile slave woman who's linked to the Jewish slave. And this sacrifice that I put aside will work for that too. Are we going to say that? We're going to say all those different actions can all be tied on to one sacrifice? Amalei. So, Ula responded to Rav Hamnuna. You're talking about a guy who does a second act after you had already set aside a sacrifice for the first act. I never said that a second act after the sacrifice was already put up for the first act, you could put the second act onto the sacrifice. I never said that. I said you could have, you know, knowledge in between acts, and all those acts could be tied onto one sacrifice. I never said, though, you could do an act, have knowledge, and put aside an animal for this act, and then do another act, and that other act would still be roped in to that animal. I never said that. All right, so that completes that discussion. Kiyasa Rav Dimi. What's that, a question? Yeah, please.
He didn't want to know.
What's that?
Is that what you said? It sounds like he knew it, but he didn't want to know. You know, these actions that with the maid. He knew that she's with somebody else, but he didn't want to know. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. This is a unique sin. This is part of why this Gemara is so confusing, because we've been talking about sin offerings, karban chatas. So sin offerings only apply to something that, were you to do it on purpose, you'd have to get kares. Now we're not talking about sin offerings. We're talking about asham offerings, guilt offerings. Now there's something unique about this guilt offering again, it's different than chatas. In chatas, you only have to bring it if you weren't aware. You were making a mistake. You forgot that it's Shabbos. You forgot right. that Shabbos exists. This sin and the guilt offering, you bring it both for a mistake and for on purpose. Both mistake and on purpose. So the question is not whether the guy was mistaken or not. The question is, can we add all the actions that he did into one episode, or we say they're different episodes? So we're saying if he does it on purpose multiple times, I'm doing it. Yeah, and then he puts aside one sacrifice, it would work for the five times. But what happens if he's not starting on purpose? He's starting mistaken. He did it once. Then he realizes I was wrong. Then he did it a second time. Again, he realizes he was wrong. He does it a third time. Oh, again, he realizes he was wrong. So that we said, according to the view that says you don't really need knowledge, even when he's unsure about whether he did it. The Asham Tali works as an Asham. So if knowledge doesn't count so much in this category, knowledge won't break up the actions into different episodes. But once he puts aside an animal for what he's done, that ended the episode. No one would say that he can put aside an animal and then say, oh, I'm going to do some more things and then it'll also be tied into the animal. No, you put aside the animal, you ended the episode. Now it's a new episode. Now you have to bring another animal for the new things that you do. That's what the Gemara is saying. Kiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from the land of Israel to Bavel, to Persia, Amar, he said, Leman da Amar Asham Vadai, Boy Yediyah B'tchila. But according to the other view, the view that says that when you need to bring a guilt offering, your guilt offering only works for you if you know with definity of what it's for. So somebody who's not sure if he slept with the Gentile slave woman who's connected to the Jewish slave. So he wasn't sure he brought Asham Talu. He said, maybe I did it. So just in case, I'm offering a guilt offering based on doubt. Once he finds out that he did it, he has to bring another carbon. That's the other view. That's the view of Rabbi Tarfa. So the one who says Asham Vadai needs knowledge, then if Baal Chamesh Be'ilos B'Shivcha Charufa, if he had intercourse five times with this Gentile slave woman who is connected to the Jewish slave, and he has knowledge in between each time, so since knowledge matters, Chayev Al Kol Achas V'Achas, he would have to bring five sacrifices. Amar Le Abaye, Abaye said to Rav Dimi, let's go back to yesterday's learning. Hare Chatas. Yesterday we learned not in regards to guilt offerings, in regards to sin offerings. We learned in regards to sin offerings that if a person eats an olive worth of forbidden fat, and then he ate a second olive worth of forbidden fat. Then he found out that the first act of eating was a sin. Then he finds out that the second act of eating was a sin. So according to Rish Lakish, he only brings one sin offering. So therefore, Abaye asks against Rav Dimi, Hare chatas de be'inon yediyah b'tchila, in regards to sin offerings, not guilt offerings. Till now we were talking about guilt offerings. Now we're talking about sin offerings. In regards to sin offerings, we know your sin offering only can work for you if you know what it's for. The sinner has to come to the temple and he has to say, I'm offering this for the fact that I ate forbidden fat, or for the fact that I ate blood, or for the fact that I violated Shabbos. A sin offering can't be based on maybe. Maybe you did it, you can bring Asham Talui, that can suspend penalty, but it can't wipe away the sin. To wipe away a sin, you have to know what it's for. Torah says, Oho da'ilav chatasa, once he knows about his sin. And nevertheless, even though with the sin offering, knowledge is clearly a big deal. If you don't have knowledge, you don't get atonement. Nevertheless, Reish Lakish said that if he ate an olive worth of forbidden fat, and then another olive worth of forbidden fat. Then he was informed about the first thing. Then he's informed about the second thing. He only brings one offering. So why don't we say, if knowledge is a big deal, the knowledge should break up the actions into different episodes. You don't say that. So Ishtik, Avimi was quiet. Amarle, so then Abaye said to Rav Dimi, Dilma, b'maisa d'lachar afrasha kamarta. Maybe what you said, that when a person has knowledge about their different acts that they did with the Gentile slave woman, that would require multiple guilt offerings, according to the view that says that you need to have knowledge for your guilt offering to wipe away a sin. When you said that, that's really true, even according to Reish Lakish, because what you meant was not just that you had knowledge about each act of intercourse with the Gentile slave woman, but that there was actually putting aside a sacrifice after the events with the slave woman. So the man had intercourse with the Gentile slave woman. He didn't realize that what he was doing. Then he's informed, and right away he put aside a karban asham. Then he did it again. Again he's informed, he puts aside another karban asham. Look at Rav Amnuna. And that's like the view of Rav Amnuna, who said that there's no question that once somebody puts aside the animal, the further actions can no longer be tied in to that animal. Amar leis, Rav Dimi said, in, that's exactly what I meant. That's what I meant. So now bottom line. Now we'll get to the bottom lines. Ki asa Ravin, when Ravin came from the land of Israel to Persia, Amar, he said like this. Hakol modim, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, who argue about fat and eating the two pieces and then being informed about one and being informed about the second, both of them agree, v'shivcha charufa. They'll both agree to a certain law in the case of a man who has intercourse with the Gentile woman who is the Gentile slave woman who is connected to the Jewish slave man. They all agree. They'll all agree that there is a certain case where each act of intercourse creates its own sacrifice, its own animal. Hakol modim, everybody will agree with Shefel Charuf in a case of the Gentile slave woman to the Jewish man, that there'll only be one sacrifice for all the acts in a certain case. Umachlokes b'shifcha charufa. And Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish will also argue in a case of shifcha charufa. Hakol modim b'shifcha charufa de'eino chayev el achas. Everyone will agree in a case of shifcha charufa that he's only obligated with one. He's only obligated to bring one animal after multiple acts. Kidu'ula. That would be according to Ula. So according to Ula, Ula said that according to Rabbi Tarfon says that if someone wasn't sure if he even did the act of Shifcha Charufa, he could bring an Asham Talui, a guilt offering based on doubt. And once he brought the guilt offering based on doubt, if he's later informed that he certainly did the act, the guilt offering based on doubt wiped away the sin and created atonement. So you see that according to Rabbi Tarfon, knowledge is not such a big deal in regards to guilt offerings. So according to him, that knowledge is not such a big deal in regards to guilt offerings. If a person were to have five acts of intercourse with the Gentile slave woman, and between each act would have knowledge. Knowledge is not such a big deal. It wouldn't create it, wouldn't make it into different episodes. And one sacrifice would work for all those five acts of intercourse. Hakol modim, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish would agree. B'shifcha charuva, d'chayev al kol achas v'achas, that one time with this topic of a Jewish man having intercourse with a Gentile slave woman who is connected to a Jewish slave, that each act of intercourse will require its own animal sacrifice. Rav Hamnuna, that's in the case of Rav Hamnuna, where after one act of intercourse, he put aside an animal, and then he had another act of intercourse. Once he puts aside an animal, the second act of intercourse cannot be tied into that first animal. So now each act of intercourse will have to have its own animal sacrifice. And the same argument that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish have in regards to chatas, in regards to sin offerings, they could also have in regards to guilt offerings. In a case of a Gentile slave woman who is who's connected to the Jewish slave man. So Lamanza Amar, according to the view, Asham Vadai Boy Yediya Betchila, according to the view of Rabbi Tarfon, that the guilt offering only works to wipe away the sin of the Jewish man with the Gentile slave woman if the Jewish man knows with certainty that he did the sin. So then you can have the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. You can have the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Because if knowledge matters, you need definitive knowledge for the sin, for the guilt offering to work. So then you would say it's like chatas. Be the same as chatas. Chatas certainly needs definitive knowledge for the sin offering to work. Guilt, again, there's a difference between guilt offering and sin offering. If you say you need definitive knowledge for asham, for guilt offering, that means you're saying that guilt offering is the same as chatas, is the same as sin offering. And if they're both the same, so you have the same machlokas. So what did Rabbi Yochanan say? If you ate a kezias of chalev, a kezias of forbidden fat, then you ate another kezias of forbidden fat, then you find out that the first thing you did was wrong, then you find out that the second thing you did was wrong. So Rabbi Yochanan said, you bring two karbanos, because knowledge matters here. So the knowledge divides the eatings into episodes, into two episodes. So the same thing would be true about guilt offerings. He had relations with her, then he had again relations with her. He finds out the first time was wrong. He finds out the second time was wrong. You have to bring two guilt offerings. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, who says that when he ate the forbidden fat, and then he ate again the forbidden fat, then he found out that the first act was wrong, then he found out that the second act was wrong. Reish Lakish says he only brings one sin offering. So he'll say, in regards to guilt offering, it'll be the same thing. A man who had relations with the Gentile slave woman who's betrothed to the Jewish slave, who's connected to the Jewish slave, and then he has relations a second time, then he finds out that the first time was wrong, then he finds out that the second time was wrong, still only has to bring a single sacrifice. So the same argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in regards to chatas will exist in regards to asham. Rabbi, and that is the completion of this discussion. Yeah, question.
Rabbi, yeah, why is intention absent in all this, the asham? Why is it only knowledge that is important? It seems like intention should have a purpose here also, and it should count. So let's say the man goes with the woman the first time, and then the second time he really doesn't have the intention, and it happens. Whether let's say she seduced him, or he happened that, you know, she was available and he really didn't want to, but he fell into the sin. Why does that not count here, like all other sins that we've discussed?
It's a uniqueness about asham. I don't know why this sin is so different, but this is a unique character of this sin, of shivcha charufa, that it applies even to mezid, even on purpose. The punishment is to bring, part of the atonement is to bring a karban asham. I don't know why it's different than, let's say, eating fat.
But what I'm trying to say is that the intention should matter to have an impact on the sin offering, and in the discussion between Reish Lakish and the other on what it should be. I mean, it's very obvious that Reish Lakish would take the lenient part because he knows all about all these sins, and he knows he can relate to it. You know what I mean?
I wonder if that's part of it. You know, in general, Reish Lakish is, you know, talks a lot about tshuva and how great is the power of tshuva, and you wonder if part of that was his own experiences having been a bandit. But But, you know, the Shifcha Harufa, this is a unique law where the same sacrifice, Asham, is brought both for Shogeg, when he's not aware that he's doing the wrong thing, and for Mazid, and when he's deliberately doing the wrong thing. So it is a unique situation. It's a very unique situation. I don't know why Hashem set it up this way, but it is a very unique situation. Izzy, a question?
No, thank you,
Rabbi. No, okay, great. Baruch, a question?
Rabbi, we're talking about the slave Jewish man doing this. How about the boss? Would be the same thing as the slave man?
Would have to bring karbanos. He would get punished for doing it. He'd get lashes. He'd have to bring karbanos. He's not allowed to.
So it's the same rule with the boss and also with the slave.
The boss is not allowed to have relations with the Gentile slave woman. The Jewish slave is allowed to have relations with the Gentile slave woman, and therefore anybody else who has relations with her has to is violating a sin.
What happened if the boss is having a relationship with a slave woman?
We beat him up.
Gentile.
We beat him up. He gets lashes. That's a terrible thing. We don't allow it. And he has to bring karbanot too. Yes, karbanot and lashes. Yeah. He gets punished.
Okay. And you know what happened to the rules of atonement that you ask for forgiveness, and then again, repeatedly, you're doing it again and again and again.
Again.
So.
This is as I was telling Rachamim, this is a very unique aspect of this law. This is a very unique thing. Asham for Shifcha Harufa is very unique. It's different. It's true. People can do it again. It's very unique. One second.
Like
a question here.
Driving, if you pass the red light, you know, like 3-4 times, every time they take points out, they're going to suspend your driver's license.
I know. Yeah, it's true. Hashem is very forgiving. Keeps giving us chances. So someone asked, why is there so much here about in the Rashi and Tosfos? You know, there's a lot in the Rashi and Tosfos because this really isn't a Shabbos discussion. This is really a Krisus discussion. So to explain it, Rashi speaks at length to get us into the discussion. Okay, so now we're going to go to the second half of today's daf. It's much easier. And now we're back into typical Shabbos discussions. We know that the Torah tells us on Shabbos, Lo sasa kol malacha, don't do any labor, don't do any work. What's the definition of malacha? The definition of malacha is that which was needed to build the Mishkan. Whatever was needed to build the Mishkan, that's what we cannot do on Shabbos. Now the Torah describes the building of the Mishkan, that this was a job for the wise of hearts. Hashem says to Moshe, "El kol isha chachma slave, any woman who has a wise heart, she's the one who has to do the weaving." And the Torah defines the actions of the building of the Mishkan as meleches machsheves, work of intellect, work of thought. So in regards to Hilchos Shabbos, intention plays a greater role than really anywhere else in halacha, anywhere else in the way we're supposed to live life. So one of those issues is what we're going to see now is the issue of misasik. That if someone was distracted, he was busy doing one thing. And because he's trying to do one thing, something else ended up happening. How does that get categorized in regards to Hilchos Shabbos? So Itmar we learned. Now starting Ayin Beis Amid Beis, page 72b. Niskavein lahagbias hatalosh. He put his hand down, he pulled his hand up. He wanted to put the hand down, wanted to pull the hand up. But he wasn't trying to pull a plant out of the ground. What he was trying to do is he was trying to pull, let's say, a knife from the ground. He had a knife, he was using the knife to cut the bushes on Friday. The knife fell into the bushes. Well, Friday night, he says, "Oh, one second, I don't want to leave the knife out there." He goes out. And he puts his hand in to rummage about and pull up the knife. And instead of pulling up the knife, he pulled up the roots. He pulled out the plant. So Niskavim Lagbiya Satala, she was trying to lift up that which is already detached, which is permitted. It's a permitted activity. He ended up cutting what's already attached to the ground, which is ktsira, that's harvesting, one of the malachos of Shabbos. Pater, he doesn't have to bring a karban. It's not called shogig. Shogig is, he wanted to do this thing. He wanted to plant, he wanted to harvest. He thinks he's allowed to. He forgot that the day is Shabbos. He forgot that this is not allowed on Shabbos. He forgot there's a concept of Shabbos. But he's trying to do this prohibited act. Here, he wasn't trying to do the prohibited act. He was trying to do a permitted act. Therefore, he's totally exempt of a karban. What happens if lachto chasatalosh? He wants to cut. What he wanted to cut was something which is already detached. He wants to cut, let's say, a leaf, which is detached. And he ended off cutting a leaf which is attached, not a leaf which is detached. Rav Amar Pater. Rava said, in such a case, he is exempt. Abaye Amar Chayiv, Abaye said, in such a case, he is obligated. Rava Amar Pater, Rava said he's exempt. Because he's not trying to, he wasn't intending to cut something that you're not allowed to cut. He's trying to cut a leaf that's already detached. So he was trying to do permitted, and he ended up doing prohibited. Yeah, so somebody asked here, is the leaf muktza? Yeah, the leaf could be muktza, but it doesn't have to be a leaf. I said a leaf. It could have been something else. He wants to cut, he wants to cut the wrapping around a package, and he swings the knife. He doesn't just cut the wrapping. He misses the wrapping. He cuts off a tree. So the bottom line is, he was trying to do something permitted. He ended up doing something prohibited. So Rava said he's exempt. He wasn't trying to do the prohibited cutting. Abaye Amar Chayev. Abaye, though, says he has to bring a karban. He was trying to cut. His intention was to cut. And he ended up cutting the wrong thing. But since his intention is to cut, that's not called doing, something totally different. It is basically similar to what he was trying to do. And therefore, since it was a sin, it's called a shogeg, and he has to bring a sin offering. Amar Rava, Rava said, Minah, what's my source? Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Chomer Shabbos mishar mitzvos. In certain ways, Shabbos is stricter than other mitzvos. V'chomer shar mitzvos mishabbos. In other ways, other mitzvos are stricter than Shabbos. Chomer Shabbos mishar mitzvos. Shabbos is stricter than other mitzvos. In regards to Shabbos, if he did two acts in one state of forgetting, he has to bring two karbanos. That's not true with other mitzvos. But other mitzvos are stricter than Shabbos. In other mitzvos, if he was a shogeg without intention, he has to bring a karban. Mashenkin b'Shabbos, but in Shabbos, if he's a shogeg without intention, he doesn't have to bring a karban. Now let's explain this brisa. We just said, Chomer Shabbos mishar mitzvos. Shabbos is stricter than other mitzvos. Shabbos, in regards to Shabbos, asa shtayim behelam echad, if he does two acts in one state of forgetting, chayav kol achas v'achas, he has to bring two karbanos. Which is not true about other mitzvos, two acts would only get, with one state of forgetting, would only have to bring one sacrifice. Hey, Chidami, what's the case? Let's say what he did was, he harvested and he ground, up. He harvested the grain and he ground the grain. So on Shabbos he has to bring two sacrifices. The kavasa got b'shar mitzvos, but in regards to other mitzvos, what would it be? Achal chela v'dam. He ate forbidden fat and he ate forbidden blood. So he also has to bring two sacrifices. Here he has to bring two sacrifices. Here he has to bring two sacrifices. Ella, so rather, shar mitzvos, l'machayv elochada hechidami. What would be the case in other mitzvos where he does two acts and he only has to bring one sacrifice? He ate forbidden fat. and he eats some more forbidden fat. He brings one sacrifice. The kavasagav is Shabbos of ksiru ktsira. Well, in regards to Shabbos, it would be that he would harvest and then again harvest, as we've been learning for the last couple days. You only have to bring one sacrifice. If you do the same av multiple times, if you do the av and it's tolada, you only have to bring one sacrifice. Then hachachadamachayv. Then here he has to bring one sacrifice, and here he has to bring one sacrifice. Answers the Gemara. La'olam da'avad k'tzira u'tchina. Now the case is that on Shabbos he harvested and he ground up. Umay mashen k'mishar mitzvos. What does it mean that in regards to other mitzvos, if he does two acts, he would not have to bring two offerings? It's not the act of fat and the act of blood. Avodah Zarah. It's referring to two different acts of worshipping idols. K'd Rabbi Ami, as Rabbi Ami taught, Rabbi Ami said, Ziveach, someone who slaughters an animal for Avodah Zarah. The Kiter, and he throws it into the fire for Avodah Zarah. The Niseich, and he poured the wine for Avodah Zarah. Ba'alama Achas, in one state of forgetting, Eino Chayev Ela Achas. Even though it's different actions, it's all one basic concept, serving the other idol. So therefore, he only has to bring one single carbon. So what are you saying this Braisa is doing? The Braisa is contrasting Shabbos, mistaken violations of Shabbos, to mistaken violations of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah. So you're saying it's all talking about Avodah Zarah. So now we must say, if we read the end of the Braisa. Chomer b'shar mitzvos, but other mitzvos are stricter than Shabbos. Shabbashar mitzvos, shagag b'lo miskabin chayiv. In regards to other mitzvos, if he's making a mistake without intending to, he still has to bring a sacrifice. Made a mistake, but he wasn't intending. Still has to bring a sacrifice. Mashenkim is Shabbos, but in Shabbos, if he wasn't intending, he doesn't have to bring a sacrifice. So, hi, shagag b'lo miskabin Avodah Zarah yechidami. What's the case of Avodah Zarah where he made a mistake without intent? He thought that the church was a synagogue. He was trying to worship God, went into the wrong place. He got down on his hands and knees to bow down, trying to bow down to God, not realizing he didn't walk into the shul on Rosh Hashanah. He had walked into the church. That's not Avodah Zarah even. He doesn't have to bring a karban. He's trying to serve God. He's not trying to serve Jesus. So it must be that he saw some type of a statue. The Sagidla, he bows to the statue. So if he bows to the statue, it's regular Avodah Zarah, the same way it could be violation of Shabbos. What do you mean that he intended, he mistaken without intent? That's mistakes with intent. Hey, Chidam, what's the case? If he believes that this statue is a god, Mezidu, then he's already deliberate. He doesn't have to bring a sin offering, he gets killed, stoned. If he's not accepting the statue as his god, then it's nothing. The fact that he bows to a statue of Abraham Lincoln or Martin Luther King, that's not Avodah Zarah at all. It doesn't have to bring a sin offering. Ella, so must be, he bowed to the statue. Me'ava umiyira, out of friendship. Maybe a friend of his was encouraging him to do it, so he decided to make the friend happy and do it, or out of fear. And this is called a shogig. This is called a shogig because he's not really trying to worship this other faith. He's trying to, get along with his friends. This is shogig below miskavi, a mistake without intent. In Avodah Zarah, he'd have to bring a karban, and in Shabbos, not. That's fine, according to Abaye, who holds that such a case would be obligated in a karban. El Rava, but according to what Rava just told us, Rava said in regards to Shabbos, somebody who is trying to cut something detached and ends up cutting something attached is chayiv. So, he's pater. Rava says he's pater. Rava says he's pater in such a case. So now, ma'ikal ameimar. So now, what's the case of the contrast between Shabbos and Avodah Zarah? Ela boma mutter. Okay, so it's not a case of somebody doing it because he wants to mollify friends. It's a case of where he thinks it's permitted. He thinks it's permitted to worship idols. So in Avodah Zarah, he'd have to bring a karban. Mashenkin b'Shabbos. But on Shabbos, he wouldn't have to bring a karban. Why? To patul gamri. Shabbos, he'd be exempt. When did Rav have a question of Rav Nachman? When he thinks it's entirely allowed. Namely, he forgot that the day is Shabbos. He forgot that the malachos are prohibited on Shabbos. That's whether he has to bring one karban or multiple karbanos. Nobody ever said that he'd be fully exempt. Okay, so the Rav, therefore the Gemara says, no. El alav, so therefore, Rava says, now starting Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, Reisha Ba'akum, the beginning of this braisa that says, Shabbos is stricter than other Shabbos, the beginning of the braisa that says, other mitzvos are stricter than Shabbos, that's referring to Avodah Zarah. The Seifa, in the end, is talking about Bishar mitzvos. The end is talking about all sorts of other mitzvos. So Mark explains, Shagag b'lo miskavim bishar mitzvos echidami. What is the case of mistaking without intention that in other mitzvos he's chayiv, but in regards to Shabbos he would be potter? To savar deshuman hu v'achlo. If somebody has permitted, He has fat in front of him. He thinks it's permitted fat. He's trying to eat permitted fat. And he ends up eating prohibited fat. He has to bring a sin offering. In regards to Shabbos, if he was trying to cut what's already cut, and he ended up cutting what's attached, he doesn't have to bring a sin offering. Asha'en kim b'Shabbos to potter, and Shabbos he'd be exempt. Then eskavin lachtuch ha'satolosh. In Shabbos, if he's trying to cut that which is detached, and he ends up cutting that which is attached, he would be exempt according to Rava, because he was trying to do something permitted. He ended up doing something prohibited. In regards to other halachos, this concept of misasik, he was trying to eat something permitted, and he ended up eating something prohibited, that would be called shogeg, and then he would have to bring a karban. The reason why is because when you talk about misasek, you can say he wasn't even trying to do this. It's as if he didn't do it, right? He was looking to pick up a knife. He ended up pulling out a plant. You'll say that the act of pulling out a plant wasn't his act. His act was to pull up a knife. A plant came up. That wasn't what he was trying to do. But in regards to chelev, it's eating. When you eat, you absorb certain nutrition. You can't say, I didn't eat. He ate. He ate. Yeah, maybe his mind wasn't to do that, but he ate. He ate the forbidden fat. So in regards to chelev, there's no concept of misasik. So Rava holds that a guy who wants to cut something which is cut, and he ends up cutting something which is attached. In regards to Shabbos, it's misasik. That action's not ascribed to him, and he's exempt. In regards to other areas of halacha, in regards to forbidden fat, he was trying to eat permitted fat. He thought he would have permitted fat, but he ended up going and taking the forbidden fat. Then he would be chayiv, because in regards to an act of eating, you can't say to somebody, he didn't do it. He was trying to do something else. He absorbed it. The nutrition is in him. He got the weight from it. Shekein nena. He got the benefit. So then he would be chayiv a karban chatas. Then we'd be chayiv the sin offering. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day. Bezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow.
Rabbi,
thank you.
Does Avodah Zarah have karet, right? Exactly,
yes.
Like Shabbat.
Yes, exactly.
Are there any other...